It is Monday on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth. My mic's in a weird place. There we go. That's better.
I'm in a weird place.
Yeah.
It's Monday.
And it froze over the weekend.
Yeah.
So it was...
Freeze warning. That was kind of weird getting that on the phone.
It was cold this morning. Like, not like fall, brisk, nice kind of chilly. It was cold.
It was wake you up cold?
Yeah.
Wake you up cold. Good morning. Monday morning, October 22nd. Two good topics on the docket today.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a little while since we've talked about Creation Matters and taking a look at a new book from Ken Ham today with our regular expert on Creation Matters, Pastor Worth. We'll get to that in just a moment. And in the second half, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Life Conference coming up in January, the March for Life as well.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that with the Reverend Robert Zagor, Director of the LCMS Office of National Mission. Thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Find out more about them at cuw.edu. Joining us by phone this morning, Pastor Warren Worth, Pastor at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, and a regular expert on all things Creation Matters. Pastor Worth, good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to have you with us this morning and talking about some creation topics. It sounds like Answers in Genesis and Ken Ham have a new book out, you have the scoop on that for us.
Yes. Ken Ham and the good folks at Answers in Genesis produce a book called Gospel Reset, Salvation Made Relevant. Now, the title is kind of off-putting to Lutherans, at least to this Lutheran pastor, because it's like, what, you're going to change the gospel? Well, that's not what he's talking about, changing the gospel.
Ouch.
His principle in this little book, which is only 120 pages long, and which was mailed to more than 300,000 churches, along with free tickets to the Creation Museum, the Ark Encounter, and the Museum of the Bible, it was intended to help clergy and churches and Christians in North America to think about how we bring the gospel, the unchanging message of salvation by grace alone through faith in Jesus Christ alone, the Son of God who loved us, died and rose again for our salvation. How do we bring that message to a world that now considers that a fairy tale? And it's like, how does the world consider that a fairy tale? Well, his premise is that while Western Europe, North America, Australia, and so forth had previously been strongly influenced by the Bible and by people who believed the Bible was really true, authoritative, and therefore to be trusted and relied upon, has over the last number of decades, we've come to distrust the Bible because we've become more, quote-unquote, scientific in our understanding. And the worldview that is taught in our government-run public schools, in the media, in museums, and pretty much everywhere in the culture around us, is more hostile to the Bible as being trustworthy and to the gospel as being the only way of salvation. And so, and he begins by using the illustration of Billy Graham, who, you know, decades ago, you know, packed stadiums with people and was considered a very successful evangelist. And then when he passed away a few years ago, people commented in the public media that there will probably never be another Billy Graham because the world has changed. And then he picks up on that and says, you know, his own research and that of groups like Barna Research, which does a lot of demographic surveying of people's religious views, seems to support the idea that previous generations were more open to the Bible and the Bible's message, recent generations less so, especially the young. And so his premise is that, you know, if you speak the gospel to somebody, they're not as likely to hear it if they don't already understand that there is one God who created us and understand the matter of accountability to him, the problem of sin, and the need for a Savior whom God promised to send, the seed of the woman who would come and save us, that is Jesus Christ. That's basically what he's trying to say. And he uses a kind of a basic illustration throughout the book, which he repeats again and again, and hammers at this. He says, if you compare Peter's preaching in Acts 2 to Paul's preaching on Mars Hill in Acts 17, you see two different kinds of cultures to which the gospel is being presented. One, Peter was preaching to people who already knew the Old Testament. And so what was already foundational for them is that there is, if you say God, they understood you're talking about Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament, the God who created us, the one to whom we are to give account. If you said sin, they understood what sin was about, disobeying this holy God. And if you were talking about a Savior, at least they had the messianic hope. And whereas Paul, speaking to Greeks on Mars Hill, you know, they didn't share the same worldview. You know, so there could be many gods. There could be a different view of human origins. There could be a different view of right and wrong and what is sin. And so what Ham is saying is that North American and Western European culture has become more like the Greek culture of Mars Hill that Paul was addressing, where people are more skeptical and not already having the foundational understanding of God, creation, sin, and death to be ready for the message of Jesus, the Savior, his crucifixion, resurrection, and the gift of salvation by grace through faith. And that's his premise that he runs with throughout the book.
So the subtitle is Salvation Made Relevant, which...
makes you squirm.
It makes you squirm. It makes my Lutheran blood squirm a little. But he talks about, providing insights on making this relevant to millennials. Is there a way to do that in our Lutheran framework, or is that kind of outside of the realm? It's not really our language as Lutherans, I guess.
Yeah, I think that I agree with you completely that it, as a Lutheran, you squirm with the way he says that.
Mm-hmm.
And while he doesn't get into, kind of an Arminian theology and give your heart to Jesus kind of theology here, mm-hmm. It makes us uncomfortable in the sense that it's like, do you need to add something to the gospel? And I think... And when you read his book and give him a fair hearing, okay, it's not that he's saying you need to add something to the gospel, but that people may not be ready to listen to your gospel presentation or understand what you mean. If you say God, what do you mean by God? Who's God? Mm-hmm. You know, if you talk about sin, what do you mean sin? What is sin? And so he's thinking that some of these things, we need to be prepared to explain these things to people who may not already understand them. And as I read through the book, you know, he was repeats that again and again. When I got to the very end of the book, so somebody who wants to read the end first, maybe in this case it wouldn't be a bad idea to read the end first, because he gives an actual example where he had been giving a talk, and somebody came up and confronted him. And so his summary of what he said to that person and what that person said to him illustrates the point he's making and shows how he went about trying to help this person come face-to-face with a true gospel presentation. And I found that helpful when I was getting a little bit tired of reading pretty much the same thing repeated page after page and wondering, okay, is this really, can I as a Lutheran buy into this? I think when you hear what he did, how he presented the gospel or attempted to prepare this person to accept the gospel or at least listen to it, you know, that's kind of where he's coming from, it kind of made more sense. And then, of course, at the end, he has a sales pitch, which if you want to talk about a sales pitch, you're giving two free tickets to all these, you know, 300,000 churches that received this. So two free tickets to the Creation Museum, the Ark Encounter, and the Museum of the Bible. And his thought is there are wonderful resources out there to help Christians, especially Christian pastors, but all Christians, to be prepared to give an answer and to defend the faith. And that's, again, he refers to what Peter says there in his epistles about being prepared to give an answer to people who ask for the reason for the hope that is in you. And I agree with the idea that we want to strengthen people in their witness and also to help people, because many of our own people don't have a good understanding of Christian apologetics and to know how to give good answers, and that there are good answers, that it isn't, well, the Bible is true only in spiritual things, but science is true in everything else. And, you know, he's saying, get rid of that idea. You know, what the Bible says also on history and science is true. And you don't have to be afraid to assert that. And there's plenty of evidence to back that up outside of the Bible, not that we need to prove the Bible. And I think that's where there's always going to be this tension. Because I think you and I understand God's word is true without our having to prove it to be true. And God's word works when we proclaim the gospel, because the Holy Spirit works through the word. It's not my debating ability or my knowledge or skill or expertise that is going to persuade somebody else to come to faith in Jesus Christ. But the process of apologetics is, it has a negative thing, and the one thing that we're attacking the wrong ideas that people have latched onto, that they are so confident in, as making it, I don't need to listen to the Bible because the Bible's not true. And his point is, the Bible is true, and there's, if you really look at the world, you'll see that what the Bible says about the world and how things are is true. The Bible's worldview is correct, and that's the point of view that he's coming from. And so while the title and subtitle, you know, kind of put us on edge and make us uneasy to say, can I read this book? I would encourage my Lutheran fellow Mercedes-Synod Lutheran pastors who received this book in the mail as I did, read it. You know, read it with an open mind, read it with your Lutheran lens, and try to see what out of this you find useful. At the very least, these tickets are good until the end of next year. So my wife and I traveled to the coast, and while I was on vacation, I read the little book on the beach, and we did not stop at the Creation Museum on our way home. We had talked about doing that, but our trip was already long enough. But we're going to make another trip, or maybe my son and I will go and take advantage of those free tickets to go to the Ark Encounter, to go to the Creation Museum, because on the whole, I believe Answers in Genesis has great materials for Christian apologetics, particularly on the matter of creation-evolution debate. I think there's a lot of stuff that we can benefit from. Yes, you have to look at it from a Lutheran point of view. Yes, you have to critically examine everything. The Scripture would tell us to do that, to be careful, to test everything, to hold on what is good and to reject what is evil. But I think that a lot of the materials are good. They're not always Lutheran. And so when it comes to things like sacraments, you know, this is, I would not go to Answers in Genesis for when I wanted to ask about baptism and the Lord's Supper, okay? But on questions about creation versus evolution, the flood of Noah's day, fossils, what about missing links, what about radiocarbon dating and all this kind of stuff, they have really, really good resources, and I would encourage my brother and sister Lutherans to consider Answers in Genesis a good resource on a lot of that kind of stuff, even as you may need to be a little bit careful about whether there's a proper distinction of law and gospel, proper emphasis on the fact that, you know, God works through the means of grace, although I don't think we completely disagree there either, but sometimes the way he words things would make you and would make me uncomfortable to some degree, that we say, I wouldn't say it quite that way.
Pastor Warren Wirth, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. Pastor Wirth, thank you so much for bringing some insights for us to this new resource from Answers in Genesis.
It's my pleasure.
Coming up in just a little bit, the LCMS Life Conference taking place in Washington, D.C. in January 2019. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.